It's difficult to lose weight. Understand this, yeah. It's difficult for me and for other people to lose weight.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
And that was how you targeted them?
Yeah, you targeted them because they're following.
They're following.
Yeah.
You.
Or because you're following them. I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't think it matters. Just call people. Oh, he's back to just calling anybody. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason. Just, you might as well have a random dialer.
Just be on social media.
That's right. Just make 1,000 phone calls a day, and you're likely to get a 50% close ratio. If you're just calling people you follow or they follow you, you're not preparing to target anybody. You're prepared to just waste your fucking day.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Chris and Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chris.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. How the hell are you? Thanks for joining us. Okay, we're going to round it out. We're going to round out the week by trying to see if we can get through the last edition of Paul's Martial Arts of Sales, Cold Call Paul. We've been doing it all week. We figured, why not? Let's see if we can go the distance. Let's see if we can.
Let's see if we can.
Let's see if we get any nugget of information out of him. And we'll get to that in just a few minutes. But Chrissy, there is a sensation that is rolling through the childhood world right now. The preteens, the teens, the toddlers, everybody's excited about it. They are about to dethrone Disney as the most streamed television show in history. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
K-pop Demon Hunter.
Ooh,
have you heard of this?
I have.
K-pop Demon Hunter was a movie that took almost $100 million to produce.
Really?
But I believe the company behind it, Universal, did not believe that it would be a hit. So they sold it to Netflix. And when they sold it to Netflix, they sold it for $20 million. And they said, you can have the rest. Just give us $20 million.
Yeah.
In what is largely believed to be the worst
deal in history,
K-pop will soon become the number one streamed television show, movie, and streamed anything ever.
That's wild.
The kids,
K-pop is huge.
K-pop, Korean pop music, which are typically boy band and girl bands, have really taken over the world for the last, let's say, half a decade. It's really been very prevalent. It's very candy pop. It's very, there's an aesthetic is pleasing. The music sounds good. It's manufactured in a lab, but who cares? And this is a cartoon about demon hunters who happen to be in a K-pop band, right? This, my kids are now watching it.
Oh, they love it.
They're in love with it. I think a few of them are too young to be watching it, but how can you know, when everybody else is talking about it?
And it's a movie?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was a series.
Now, there are 10 songs, I believe, in it, because the song, they actually have songs from the K-pop group depicted in this cartoon.
Okay.
Just today, the third of the songs from the soundtrack has now cracked the top 10 most streamed songs in the world. That's three songs from a fucking cartoon movie. These are not like songs that are repurposed. These are original songs. So there's been lots of songs like in Trolls and stuff like that. Like, you know, very famous songs that you and I know. And there have been one or two offshoots.
Everything is awesome.
Yeah, everything is awesome. Everything is great when you're part of a team. But this is like a sensation that's wild. And Netflix had a specific goal at the beginning of the decade, the 2020s, to dethrone Disney as the animation king.
They did?
And they're coming close. And with K-pop, they may do it because they are just killing it, literally murdering it with this K-pop Demon Hunter. There are parents who are posting about it. Parents are into it. Kids are into it. Everybody's into it. Everybody's into K-pop Demon Hunter. I have watched some of it. I can understand the allure.
Okay.
It has not caught me like it's caught some other parents out there. But I'm just super amazed at how this one television show has really taken over the landscape of the internet.
That's unbelievable.
I mean, really, it is really crazy. And if you have kids, then you know. And they very well could dethrone Disney as the king of animation. We'll see how it all works out. See, the problem with Disney is they really haven't had a hit, like an animation hit, in a long time.
Mm.
I think the last one that could be considered kind of a hit would have been Encanto, right? Soul was a great movie. It came out at the beginning of the pandemic. It's a very great message. The music in it is beautiful. It's beautifully done. I don't know if it was a super hit for them, but I know that Encanto was. I know that Coco was.
I love Coco.
Love the movie Coco.
Such
a beautiful movie.
It really is.
And Encanto. Encanto's a beautiful movie, too. And Lin-Manuel.
Luca.
Luca was a great movie.
Luca was a good one.
Yeah, but since then, they've kind of had a string of duds. The new Elio, the Stitch movie was very, very popular. Mm. The live action Moana is coming out. We'll see how that does with Dwayne Johnson. We'll see how that does. The Little Mermaid, you know, that live action movie, it wasn't my favorite thing in the world. So we'll see how it all shakes out here. But as studios increasingly only take chances on big tentpole projects they have absolutely tested to death over and over again. We talked to somebody about this a million times on the show. There is no creativity left in Hollywood because they're too scared. There's no sense of north with Hollywood right now. They don't know what's going on. They don't know where it's all going to land. They don't know how it's all going to shake out. The huge movie studios have either been eaten up or being torn apart. They're just going to be much smaller movie studios from now on, and they're just going to do business in a smaller and different way. But none of them want to take chances on these kind of middle-of-the-road movies that might make, you know, $70, $60, $70, $80 million, take $20 or $30 million to produce and might double their money. They only want fucking home runs. So all we get is the next fucking iteration of Star Wars, Sing Part 8, which, by the way, Sing's a lovely string of movies. I love it. You know, Trolls Part 24 and, you know, Shrek 13's coming out. Predator 7. What was the one we said? Twisters with an S that no one fucking asked for that everybody loved. Superman is an exception to this. I thought Superman was very good, standalone, on its own, very good. So there are certainly...
But that was another reiteration.
Another iteration. Mm-hmm. And it just looks like it's going to continue on this way for a long time. No originality. No, like... Imagine Pulp Fiction trying to get made right now. Imagine Pulp Fiction with a young, up-and-coming director without much credit to his name trying to get Pulp Fiction done in this environment, it would either have to be greenlit by a studio with a huge actor or actress attached to it, or never done at all, or it would have to be like a homemade project.
It's definitely changing.
It's changing, and it's sad because some of my favorite movies from when I was growing up were Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs. I could go on and on and on, and I won't. Bottle Rocket. You know, these movies that are like really niche kind of movies that have had long lifespans. But not because they were huge tentpoles and everybody went to see them, but because they were just really cool movies that someone gave a good director and a good script an opportunity to go out there and make. And they don't do that shit anymore, or they do that with less and less frequency.
Yeah.
You already have to be an A-lister. You already have to be a director with your own pocketbook, your own investors, or you have to take money from the Saudi government or whatever it is, and you have to make some big fucking blockbuster that you're going to spend $1 billion in marketing on and make sure that everybody in the town sees it. So, you know, and K-pop is an example of an original movie, but I mean, it's a $100 million production.
Yeah, that's...
By the way, what costs $100 million?
About the animation.
About animation.
Huh.
I mean, I get it. It's hand-drawn, right? I think it's hand-drawn.
Okay.
Because it's not... It doesn't... I don't know. I have no idea, actually. Is it computer-generated? I don't know. It's one of those... it's very much in the vein of anime.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it looks like computer animation. Never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell a computer to do it. Can't you have AI do that shit? I don't know. You know? And that's the other thing, is a lot of studios are betting big on AI so that they can cut costs and all that other stuff. So listen to this. One more note about Demon Hunters. K-pop Demon Hunters is such a big hit that Netflix has sold the rights to show it in exclusive theater showings.
Oh.
In 1,700 different movie theaters this upcoming weekend. So today, as you're listening to this, today, tomorrow, and Sunday. 1,700 different movie theaters. Over 1,100 of those movie theaters are completely sold out for those.
I have no idea this was happening.
That's insane. Insane. This is another, what just came, Minecraft. This is another Minecraft
movie. Minecraft.
Yeah, we'll see if the kids act up. Are they all going to dress up like K-pop demon hunters and go in there slaying dragons or throwing live chickens around the place? No, we shall see. That's it. I went and saw, we've got a little place right here. It's attached to a mini golf. It's an independent movie theater. It's not one of the big chains.
I like those.
I do too, and here's why. I don't have the fancy seats. I don't get to reserve my spot, but I got the little, it lays back. It just kind of rolls backwards a little bit, you know, like this much, enough to be comfortable.
Yeah, it reclines back.
There's very few people that go to this movie theater. I mean, on a Saturday or Sunday, there's a little bit of a crowd, but it's not big.
Yeah.
And $4.50 before 6 o'clock at night for the kids.
Wow.
$5.50, sometimes up to $7.50 if it's like a new hot movie for an adult. That's the ticket price. And then you can go get you can go get a large popcorn there, $9, which is much better than AMC's $26 or whatever it is for the bucket that, you know, you can fuck afterwards. but everything's very reasonably, I mean, I say reasonably, it's kind of reasonably priced, you know, candies are $4 or whatever it is. And so we went and we saw Bad Guys 2. The cartoon Bad Guys 2 with George Clooney and, you know, voicing the, you may probably have not seen this since you don't have small children, but we went and saw it. Fine movie, serviceable movie, funny at times, interesting plot, definitely watchable. And I went, I took the kids, some of the older kids. I went, I paid $50 altogether. Movie tickets, food, drinks, all of it included. I went and spent $50 and 2 hours of my life where I can just sit and enjoy a movie with them. You know, you got to deal with bathroom breaks. And that's the thing about sucks about taking the kids to a movie is that if there's a bathroom break, young kids, if there's a bathroom break, everybody's got to go to the bathroom and they want to take off their shoes and put their shoes back on. Anyway, whatever. So we go, there's probably five other families in the entire movie theater.
Yeah.
So we get to pick where we want to sit. We get to kick our feet up. We get to bounce ourselves back, put our popcorn on the empty chair and sit there and relax. I like that. That's a good experience to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the last movie I went to a theater to see.
Astrid and I went to Superman.
Yeah, I think mine was the Bob Dylan.
Oh, you saw the Bob Dylan movie? Was that good?
Yeah.
Yeah. He looks like he like
Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah. Timothy Chalamet. Timothy Chalamet. He looked like he was good in that. And when I heard his voice singing the Bob Dylan songs, I thought it was like kind of uncanny.
Yeah, it was great. I really enjoyed it.
Okay. But it only like reflects a small part of his life. Is that right? Like the first 10 years
leading
of his life?
Leading up to him going electric.
Oh, okay. Which, yeah. Only
at the Newport Jazz Festival.
Yeah. Only.
Or folk festival.
In only Bob Dylan's case, do we actually care whether or not he plugged in his guitar or not?
It was a big deal.
It was culturally significant.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. Did Bob Dylan sell out by plugging in his guitar? Was the, you know, was this little singer-songwriter beat artist now turning into a rock and roll star, quote-unquote, and part of the big machine? And I think it's been proven he did not.
Yeah.
He has largely remained Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan has largely remained Bob Dylan.
I just saw him recently.
At the Whole Foods?
No.
Oh, sorry.
At the Outlaw Fest. I went to the, you know, the Willie Nelson traveling festival that goes around.
Where was that, in Memphis?
Memphis.
Yeah, and how was he?
It was great.
How was his voice?
Good.
It's 90.
Bob Dylan's,
yeah. It's
Bob,
90 years old.
Yeah, it's Bob Dylan's voice at 90.
Bob was never my favorite artist. I have to say that. Mm-hmm. Like never one
I've
that,
come to appreciate him later.
Me too.
In life.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've come to appreciate his uncanny ability to kind of predict the future, his uncanny ability to put his thumb on the pulse of what was going on then, which seems to be very prescient
Songwriting
now.
Is amazing.
Songwriting's amazing. His voice was never my favorite, but there are songs where I think it's very haunting and beautiful, where I think that only Bob Dylan could sing it. One of my favorite Bob Dylan songs is One Headlight. Dun, 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 dun. You know that song?
That's his son.
That's his son? Then I appreciate Bob Dylan even more than I did before. Of course I do that. That's the very famous and very handsome Jacob Dylan.
Jacob Dylan, yeah. That's right.
He had a couple of hits there back in early 2000s, didn't he? Or the late 90s or something like that?
Yeah, whenever that one came out.
One Headlight. One Headlight.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, 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 dun. No, Bob's got the voice that only Bob could do.
He really is.
Like Blowing in the Wind.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard covers of it that are very good. But I got to say that only Bob can do the Bob Dylan Blowing in the Wind. That's it. And other songs. I like the trailer to the movie.
Yeah.
What was the song that was on the trailer? I can't remember, but it's a Bob Dylan song and it's very good. Speaking of redoing songs, I want to mention this real quick. I've been wanting to talk about this for about 4 months.
Wow.
Here in Atlanta,
You've
I know.
Had this on your mind?
Yeah, I've had this on my mind, and we do 4 episodes a week, and I haven't gotten
How'd
it out
you keep
yet.
That yeah. to yourself?
I don't know, quite frankly. When I'm desperate for content, 90% of the time, there is a place right down the street from our house. It's an old print shop.
Mm-hmm.
A guy owned a print shop, and then he moved it to his house. And
printing
T-shirts. Posters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Like an actual
printer. I thought
shop.
You meant printer.
Fixing like printers?
No, like a photocopy.
Oh, photocopies? Come to my house to get your photocopies.
He moved into his house.
FedEx can't go took over and he moved his print shop to the bottom of his house. It's a great place. It's a great place to go have a cup of coffee and pay $1 per page. Pay his mortgage.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, when you think about it, not that much different than what I'm about to say, right? Yeah, it's a print shop. And he has for a long time been in the Atlanta area.
Long time printer.
Long time print shop guy. It sounds so stupid now that I'm saying it. Sorry. Okay, hold on. I'm trying to find his name because now I can't remember. Maybe because I wanted to talk about him 4 months ago.
Right. Oh.
So, guy owns the print shop, and he's owned it for a long time. And he has for a long time been involved in the, or been a fan of and been kind of friends with Angie Aparo, Francisco Vidal, Blues Traveler, some of the notable musicians who come in and around Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I asked you one time if Jeff knew him because I thought Jeff was following him and I thought they were following each other.
Yeah.
Wrong, Mr. Pickford altogether.
Right.
Right. But seemed like a cool guy. And about 6 years ago, I ended up finding on YouTube Blues Traveler, Skinny John Popper,
mm-hmm.
doing a full set in the basement of someone's house.
That's right. We were talking about it.
Yes, but it was like a full stage, full light setup, very small room, but, you know, professionally shot, sounded great. Obviously, they have professionals working on it, and it's fucking Blues Traveler. They're playing in some little tiny little room, right? And on the back, it says live from the print shop.
Yes.
And then only after investigating did I learn that this is a house down the street from where we're recording right now. This guy owns the house. He invites these people to come in. He invited an artist named Steven Wilson Jr., who has become one of the hottest musicians in the rock and roll alt country country scene in a very long time. He is selling out huge theaters. People are paying three times the ticket price to see this guy. And there's a good reason why. It's because he is a beautiful singer-songwriter. His music is so powerful. To me, it's a revelation. It is. I have not gotten this excited about a particular artist. I can't remember one.
Period. Yeah, no, you. I remember you contacted me. I think it was on the weekend.
Yes.
You were asking about it. And then I listened to that interview.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic.
Yeah. So he goes and he does a series of songs that he had been playing on the road for a long time and with some success. The guy is our age, so he's in his 40s. And now he's finally, he worked in an office And then he started, went to Nashville, wrote some songs for some people. And then someone said, you should do your songs.
Yeah.
You're a beautiful songwriter. You're a beautiful singer. And he didn't want to. But then his dad was dying, pushed him out.
Yeah.
And he has an out, there's now an album called Live from the, Stephen Wilson Jr., Live from the Print Shop. And on that album, and which you can find on YouTube, it's got millions and millions of views. There is a song, and the song is called I Am a Song. I'm a Song. That's a song that was his dad's favorite that he never really wanted to do publicly, but he did acoustically, sitting during the interview live at the Print Shop.
I remember that one.
And this song is, in one of my, in my opinion, maybe a perfect song. Maybe a perfect song. It's a song about a song. It's maybe a perfect song. Not going to play it here. Not going to disrespect the copyright and all that other stuff and the hard work that the guys that live at the Print Shop put in there. You can go watch it. I'll link it in the video. But I just wanted to turn the audience onto this. Like I turned you onto The Pit and like we turned you onto some other music. I'm a Song by Stephen Wilson Jr. He also does in that same video, Stand By Me, an acoustic version of Stand By Me, which has been played so much, the original version, that I don't like it anymore because I liked it at first. But after the 50,000th time that I heard the song, it kind of wore thin on me. And Stephen Wilson Jr. made me fall in love with it all over again. Stephen Wilson Jr., Live from the Print Shop. Do yourself a favor. Fall in love with this particular hour and a half of music, but specifically I'm a Song. I think it'll be a revelation for you too. Let's take a break. And when we get back, Cold Call Paul, straight from the sincerity of Stephen Wilson Jr. to the absolute insincerity of Cold Call Paul. We're going to round it out here. We'll see if we can press through. One more video.
We've got it.
This is four. I don't know if we're going to make it to five.
No.
Because we got to move on to other stuff. Like, you know, stuff I wanted to talk about 4 months ago. All right. We'll take a break. And we'll be back. Yes, this is the commercial break inside of the commercial break. And while Rachel's beautiful voice is usually filling this void, today is a special day in lore and in history for the commercial break as our merch is now available at shoptcbpodcast.com. That's shoptcbpodcast.com. You can pre-order until August 22nd. Then the window closes. You will not be able to get any more merch. But for those who do and for those who can, we will give you a free TCB sticker with every single order. And then do us a favor. When you get that merch, open up the camera on your flip phone, take a picture of you and the merch, and tag us at The Commercial Break on Instagram. We'll give away some additional merch to a few listeners that we choose. Send your pictures, your text, and anything else to 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. You can find links and pictures of the merch at tcbpodcast.com. That's our website. Also, you can get your free TCB sticker, regardless of whether or not you order merch, by going to the Contact Us button on the website. Hit the drop-down menu, give us your address, and we'll send you one because that's the kind of nice people we are. And in an effort to take one more smack at the head of a dead horse, shop tcbpodcast.com. If you can support the show by buying some merch and showing it off, that's fantastic. And if you can't, we still love you. Broke jokester to broke jokester, our love does not depend on your ability to buy our merch. Best to you. You know, as soon as I discovered that Stephen Wilson Jr. On a weekend, whenever, 4 or 5 months ago, whenever it was. And then I immediately, like in the middle of the night, way too late to be texting Bella. Bella is the person who books all the guests on our show. I texted her and I said, Stephen Wilson Jr. and the owner of the print shop, you got to get a hold of these two and see if they'll come on the show.
Did she do it?
She got a hold of, I believe, Stephen Wilson Jr.'s management.
Okay.
He is on a run of shows right now. And honestly, it's like 6 out of 7 nights. They're all sold out. They're all over the world. He's all over the place. I saw that he was on Bert Kreischer's podcast about 9 months ago when this Live from the Print Shop first came out. So obviously, Bert got tuned in or turned on to it too. So I'm just going to leave it at this. I think there's been some forward progress made, but nothing's confirmed. But man, if we do that, I'm going to almost demand that it be in person in the studio.
Yeah.
And that there be an acoustic guitar involved because I want to hear his stories, but honestly, I want to hear his music.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we'll fuck that up somehow. All right. Okay. Technical issues. Cold Call Paul. This is the fourth video, which is labeled number 47. I don't know why. How is last one's number 15 and this is 47? I don't know. Of Cold Call Paul's Martial Arts of Sales, how to use social media to increase your leads and your sales. Let's listen to what he has to
First
say.
First thing is...
Oh, yeah, the whiteboard is just there.
Yeah, you need to be prepared to know who you're targeting.
Know who you're targeting.
It's exciting.
It's exciting, which, by the way, has been number one on every single one of these videos. So, again, we're probably going to learn nothing. He's got a bunch of numbers written down. There looks like some actual stats up there now. So,
I know, 40
to 50% conversion ratio.
That's high.
That's way high.
Yeah.
3%. And I would go, are you fudging the numbers a little bit?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Martial Arts.
He's skinnier? He must not be recording these at the same time.
No.
Because he's skinnier now.
Hence the 47,
yeah,
I guess.
I guess that's why. Yeah. His jeans still got the same jeans. They're huge. And a black long sleeve t-shirt.
That's a sale. This is part four of a five-part
sale. It's a par four? What are you thinking? Nine iron?
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
Here is on how to use my social media investment strategy. To accomplish getting quality.
Investment indicates that you're actually investing something in the social media, but you already told us you're not falling into that trap.
No, of buying ads.
Of buying anything, yeah.
Qualified leads, converting those leads into sales, and bottom line, increasing your monthly cash flow. This is the most important part, because if you do this right, the results are going to be phenomenal. Part four is... prepare your daily goals to cold calling on social media.
I think you need to slim down your titles a little bit.
And he literally just took the old school sales of picking up the phone and making a call and has now just plunked it down over into
I think you might be right about this. Minus any details on how to actually sell something.
I'm excited. I think you'll be excited.
How can you not be excited? I mean, your level of energy in these videos is 11 out of 10.
And now for the introduction.
Okay, we're going to skip this. I don't like this.
Yeah,
I
think it's, Paul, you don't need that.
Yeah, you don't. You really don't. And then why step out of the camera frame like that? That's so weird. Just come back after. Yeah. What we're skipping is a song, loud song with a weird logo, like some weird computer-generated logo. It's awful.
Check it out, everybody. I'm excited.
Everybody,
check it out. Woo, hey.
Amos rapped there.
Hey, teenagers. Are you ready to get hip with the kids?
And I hope after this you're going to be excited, because I'm going to put a daily training program for you to help you prepare to cold calling on social media.
You wait, a daily training program to help me prepare to cold call on social media.
Get every strategy. Brian.
That's right. You got to have the montage where you know, every movie has a montage where the guy works out or collects the guns or he gets ready to do the thing.
This is part four. So now that you understand the first three, those of you who have looked at the first three, I'm going to put it together on a daily preparation to help you get the direction. To learn how to cold call on social media to get the results you want. Before we get started, if you're watching me on YouTube channel, hit the subscribe button below. If you believe this video is worth somebody else watching and seeing, do share with others. Do comment on it. I do appreciate constructive
comments so I can then stalk you and call you, which is his advice.
That is his strategy.
Last video was to call people who like on your post.
Criticism. Now, part four. Is prepare your daily goals.
We know, you already told us.
To cold calling on social media. You could have all the information, all the data, all the facts that you want. If you don't put it in a system to prepare your daily calls or your daily strategy, all that goes to waste. For me, as a salesperson, as a closer, as a storyteller, as a cold caller, I take data and facts that people tell me that I believe are valuable, and how do I take that and put it into my presentation?
Did you know in 1865, a cattle was called a cattel?
How many calls do I need to make to get the end result that I need?
How many cold callers do you need? What?
Do I need to speak with? How many presentations do I need to get off in order to get a certain amount of deals? You have to prepare for that. So I'm going to help you.
Oh, God. This is real sales technique. Yeah.
It really is.
And this is a part I hate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got to get 100 phone.
Yeah.
We're not leaving this room until we make 100 phone calls.
Right.
get to that point. So
let's. Chrissy and I would just be calling each other back and forth.
Yes. Hit it.
Hit it.
Let's go to work here, guys.
Hit my goal.
Number one, absolutely important, must, non-negotiable, for your own benefit.
Well, you just at least have to know who you're targeting so that you know who to call.
Yeah, you know, you have to know who to call. We got it. 10-4. We're just going to pick up the phone and start smashing the keypad.
Prepare to know who you are targeting. Before, I just used to call any name and number. Because
oh, he did. Ball. I just used to call anybody.
Ring. Hello?
Yes, this is Paul.
Yes?
Your call number 3 today, and I have to make 100 phone calls in order to get to my conversion rate of 100%. Do you need sales consulting services?
First of all, who am I speaking with?
Well, why did you say your name was?
Paul. And according to your Instagram, you are Betty Jean Lou, 93 in South Miami, Florida. Is that correct?
Yes.
Fantastic. Do you know who you're targeting?
You're a pervert.
Don't try and sell me.
Yeah. Is that a would you like to see a proposal?
Pervert.
I'll consider that a close. Thank you, Betty Jean.
He just used to call anybody.
He loves it.
I just wanted to get enough pitches to get my language together, to get my strategies, to get more confident. But over the years, I've learned who am I going
to. Over the years. I've learned that that's a complete fucking waste of everybody's time. Yeah. I've learned that no one actually picks up the phone when they don't know the phone number.
To call. And why am I going to call them? When I cold call on the Better Business Bureau, whether it's a janitorial company.
You cold call the Better Business Bureau?
What?
Remodeling company, a pest control company. Hotel, restaurant, it doesn't matter. I know when I'm going to call, who am I targeting? I'm going to be prepared for the questions they're going to ask me. I have to know their industry so that I can have a dialogue with them. That's what I mean. Every call has to have a purpose. You don't just make phone calls to make phone calls.
That's good. That is some good advice.
You don't say.
People that do that, and it's ridiculous because you're wasting time. And you're devaluing what you are, who you are, and the services you may have.
No, you're just wasting time. Yeah. There's no devaluing. You're just absolutely wasting your time.
So always be prepared to know who you are targeting. See, nobody likes to do the grunt.
Why not just know who you're targeting? Why be prepared to know who you're targeting? I don't get it. It sounds like an extra step in there.
Work. It takes work to do that. But that work is worth it.
It's not that hard.
It's really not. If you're selling lawn care services, like we said, find people with lawns in the area, yes. And then you call them. If they answer the phone, you talk to them. You need lawn care.
Number two.
All right. Here's where.
This is what I would do. And this is what I recommend to my salespeople. This is what they do. This is what I recommend to my customers that I'm hoping to learn to sell. Is you get 5
that I'm hoping to learn to sell?
Yeah, what? That are hoping to help to learn to sell. I've also noticed there's a lot. He wants you to do a lot of stuff before you get to the action.
Yes.
There's a lot of extra action you have to take before you get to the action. If you notice the title of it, it's prepare to meet your daily goals to close leads on social media. Yeah. Why don't just close
do
leads on social media?
5 leads per platform. So let's say you have Instagram and let's say you got 10,000 followers. You got Facebook, you got 5,000 followers. You got Twitter, let's say you got 20,000 followers. You have LinkedIn, okay? So once you identify and are prepared who you're going to target, now you have to be ready to start making those initial calls.
You have to get prepared.
Prepare to be
start making
ready.
Those initial calls.
I'm talking about phone calls. And believe me when I tell you.
He said, I'm talking about phone calls?
Yeah, he said, I'm talking about actual phone calls. Okay. That's probably the least effective way to sell anything right now, but okay.
If you call people and they know they're following, they're excited about you, a lot of people are going to be excited that you're calling them.
Well, how are they going to know? How the fuck do they know you're following them? What are you talking about? Hello, this is Dua Lipa.
It's me, Brian Green. I'm following you.
I'm so excited you're calling me.
I knew you would be. Do you need lawn care services? Can I mow your lawn? Do you have a landing strip I might mow with my power mower?
Unbelievable. Who the fuck answers a phone call?
Example for me, when I call people now on social media, oh, you're that Paul Cruz guy on the Paul Cruz show. Yeah, I'm the guy. Oh, you're the martial arts sales guy. Right?
Oh, yeah. on the Paul Cruz show. On the Paul Cruz show? What channel is that
you're
on?
The martial arts
you're
sales
the
guy.
Martial arts sales guy. I can't stop laughing. You're too good, Paul. You're too good at what you do. Oh, I think you're the best comedian working today, Paul.
So wait, let me get this straight. I'm really trying to get this straight.
Me too.
I feel like he keeps switching back and forth between talking about himself and what he does and talking about what the business should be doing. But I think he's saying, like, okay, so you have the lawn care company.
Yes.
Paul's following you, but you as the lawn care company call Paul.
Yes.
And say, do you need lawn care?
I don't know. Like Paul, my eyes are darting back and forth trying to do the math. I think what he's
saying. Call your followers?
Yes, call your followers. That's what he said.
But then, and that was how you targeted them?
Yeah, you targeted them because they're following.
They're following you.
Yeah. Or because you're following them. I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't think it matters. Just call people. Oh, he's back to just calling anybody. I mean, honestly, there's no rhyme or reason. Just, you might as well have a random dialer.
Just be on social media.
That's right. Just make 1,000 phone calls a day and you're likely to get a 50% close ratio, I guess. If you're just calling people you follow or they follow you, you're not preparing to target anybody. You're prepared to just waste your fucking day. And then don't you run out of people after a couple of days? Who else are you calling? My followers? Then pick somebody else who you follow and start calling their followers. That's how you know they're interested. That's your target.
I see that you follow.
Yeah, I see that you. I see that we're a fourth generation connection on LinkedIn. Therefore, I know you're in need of my services. But wait, I'm waiting for you to pitch me. What do you sell? You want to swap?
Because I did the work.
Of what?
I don't
Figuring
know.
Out if they follow you or not.
Have you followed them?
Yeah.
They followed you. You called them. I don't know.
I'm grabbing it. Does that make sense?
No. None of it. Not a thing.
Yeah, instead up on that whiteboard, he needs to have a diagram.
Yes.
Of you.
Dot, dot, dot. Yeah.
This is how it happens. Yes.
Better yet, it would just be instructive if he would show us what he is doing. Right. Yeah.
So what you have to do is you have to be able to get 5 to 10 qualified leads per platform. So if you have 4.
Per platform per day? What?
Aggressive platform that are working for you? That's 20 to 40 qualified leads a day.
Qualified leads in the sales jargon, just to let you know, are people you know are interested or in the market for your specific services.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they liked your birthday post from a year ago. According to Paul.
Yes, I mean, yes. They liked your post. They shared it.
They shared it.
He's just going followers.
Yeah, followers. Yeah, they didn't even interact with you.
Yeah.
But remember, there is a strategy called bots. Got to be careful about that one.
Combine. Because there's a sales thing called It's a numbers game, right? For me, it's about the right numbers. How do you know the right numbers? Because you dictate the numbers you're going to do. You dictate how many people you need to call.
Oh, you just make it up as you go along.
You just decide.
Yeah. Well, today I've decided one qualified lead is
and
good.
And then it's time for the bar.
And then it's time for a Bud Light.
So you control those numbers. It's not always about the number. It's about the right numbers.
But he
yeah.
So if you're able to get 5 to 10 qualified leads per platform, and anybody should be able to do that. I'll help you. I'll teach you. All you have to
You're insane if you think that 40 people a day are going to be in the market or requesting your specific services. That's a huge amount of qualified leads to be chewing on every day.
Yeah.
What, a Clear Channel? I think we got lucky we got one qualified lead a year. I mean, honestly.
Do is email me at themartialartsofsales@gmail.com and I will help you. Learn to get 5 to 10.
At Gmail, he doesn't have his
Gmail.
Own company.
No,
yeah.
Poor guy. We got to help him.
Per platform every single day. Now, when you do that, the second part or the third part is a very exciting part, but it's also a very critical part. Why? Because 90% of the deals go south, meaning they don't happen.
Well, then you don't have a 40 to 50% close ratio. I got news for you.
Within this next step, if you do it wrong, if you do it right, a high percent will convert into sale. Number three is you will have between 25 to 50 follow-up calls per platform.
Oh, you know, he is following up
oh my
with
God.
People.
Wait, hold on. I don't think this math makes sense. If you have 20 to 40 total qualified leads,
per
but you
day.
Have 25 to 50 follow-up phone calls. Where did the extra 5 to 10 come from? How did you get those? Where did they come from? Just some quick math would have helped that equation there, Paul. Just say it.
I want you to think about that for a
second. Oh, I'm thinking about it. I'm wondering out loud.
If it's 25 qualified leads per platform,
you just said we needed 5.
5 to 10.
Yeah,
that's what he's got
10.
On the board.
That's right.
Or follow-up call. That's 100 follow-up calls minimum on your 4 platforms.
To one person?
Well, yeah. What? To the same guy? How does this work?
You need 100 follow-up calls.
Are you calling them 4 times a piece?
Something like
Facebook,
that.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn as an example. That's 100 people. It's a lot of people to call, but it's not a lot of people. Because you may not get a hold of all of them, right? So it could get frustrating. But I want you to think about that.
We've been thinking about it, and the math doesn't work. If I have a total of 40 people that I'm calling on Monday, and then I have to follow a phone call to people who didn't answer from Monday, you would assume maybe one person answers. Let's say there's 39 people left to call. The next day, how do I have 100 people to call? Where did they come from? Oh, I can't take it. Yeah, I love it. I love everything about it. Oh, my God, Paul, you're making my day. Yeah, you're giving me a break from a very stressful project that I'm enjoying, actually. Okay. I'm going to go into 5, 6, and 7 after this. All right, let's do this. Let's take a break, and then we'll finish up this video. We'll be back.
Okay, you're probably wondering why I, Rachel, have taken over the voice duties at TCB. It's pretty simple. Astrid asked me to shut Brian up, even for a minute. Well, lovely Astrid, your wish is my command. Do you want to help Astrid too? You know you do. Leave a message for her, or me, or Chrissy at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. You can be on the show too. Mm-hmm. Just call and say something. Anything. Or text us and we'll text you right back. Promise. Then head over to tcbpodcast.com and get your free sticker. It's your constitutional right to a sticker, and we must abide. You get the point. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and watch all the episodes on video at youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Best to you and Astrid, especially Astrid.
Oh, this guy I know, I'm saying this out loud to you right now to remind me to do this. This guy I know, he had a big studio with a bunch of podcast studios in it, and they closed it. They moved it to a different, they closed it, downsized it, moved it to a different location. So he's got all this new equipment sitting in a storage unit. And this weekend, he's going to do a garage sale and sell it for other creators that he knows. So maybe we'll get you like one of these microphones you can have at your house just in case there's ever a need to.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All right. Okay. All right. Let's get back to cold call, Paul. Sorry. I just had to take care of a little business. And there you go. All right. Here we go.
If you knew that all you have to do is do A, B, C, and D is $1 million waiting for you. And all it's going to do is take you, let's say, 5 hours to walk to get that $1 million. And you know it's guaranteed, it's there. Would you walk 5 hours knowing there's $1 million at the end of that door? I would.
Well, yeah.
Is there alcohol or drugs involved? Because I don't know. That's a long walk.
In a heart second, I've done it for less.
Yes.
I've done it for less.
I was going to say the $1 million sale. That's...
Yeah. If there's $1 million sale, I'm walking 5 hours for it. If I know I'm getting $1 million commission on a sale and my car breaks down, I'm walking the 5 hours. Fuck yeah, I'm walking 10 hours, 12 hours. That's a three-day walk, I think. Yeah. A month-long walk. I mean, however long it takes, whatever it is. If you told me, get to California on your own 2 feet... I'd go. I'd be fucking Forrest Gump with a beard and diarrhea rolling down the back of my shorts. I'd be there. But that's not sales because it's never guaranteed in sales.
And $1 million sale.
Yeah, you got it. You're not working selling lawn care services or sales consulting out of a Holiday Inn closet. I mean, that's not happening.
Who's at the end over there? So if you got 50 qualified leads a week.
He's pointing to 50. He's pointing to 50.
Yeah, he's pointing to 50 qualified leads per platform. That's 200 leads. Now we're at 200.
Well, he was pointing to the 50, but that's the follow-up calls he was pointing to.
Yeah. Yeah, he's... I think he just put those magic numbers up there. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Now you're at 200. It's the same thing. Is that when you do automated, I have a strategy automated... When my clients the first 2 months get 200
I don't think the automated strategy was right.
Yeah, no. I don't think that makes sense. You don't automate a follow-up phone call, right? How do you do that? I mean, bots, maybe now you could do that.
Meaning people calling them, emailing them, or going to their business.
Who automates going to their business? How do you do that?
Obviously, that's quicker, right? Well, how would you like to be able to control and get access to 200 real qualified leads that you determine need your services? Think about that. And let's say out of the 200, you convert 20%, whatever your price is. That's
no one converts at 20%. Yeah. That's not true.
The prize at the end of the door. So it's important that you have 25 to 50 follow-up calls per platform every week. So every day, you're going after new...
So not only are you cold calling 40 new people, but then you're making 40 to 50 additional phone calls.
The follow-up.
That's 100 phone calls a day. When are you doing proposals, closing, showing up at people's doors, having meetings, wiping your ass? I mean, that's hard.
Business, you're earning that business. You're developing your brand. You're developing your name.
Yeah, people will be like, avoid that guy.
Yeah, don't ever answer the phone call for Paul Cruz. You'll never get out of his sight.
Right exposure.
Yeah.
That's the martial arts of sales.
That's the martial art. That's the martial artist of sales right there. He'll wear you down.
The one thing I learned about life, you make stupid mistakes, then you brand yourself terrible, right? And sometimes it's hard to get that back. It's like earning trust. It's hard. When you lose it, it's harder to get it back. No different.
Just like my ex-wife.
I will help you. I will show you how to do follow calls or qualified leads on social media.
How to do follow-up calls? Well,
it's
you
pretty
need to
easy.
Be trained to do that.
You need training to say, "I'll call you at 2 p.m. on Tuesday." I mean, come on, that's not hard.
Number 40 to 50% conversion ratio. I believe the average person can convert 40 to 50% converting.
Four to five percent would be on the high end.
Yes.
I believe this is total horseshit. I've worked in sales for a long time. I'm not a good salesperson, but I've worked with some actually fantastic salespeople. And I think a 10% close rate.
Oh, yeah.
If you're doing business to business where you have highly targeted, highly niche stuff, then maybe you could get closer to 20% if you're only spending time with the people who absolutely need your services. Maybe 20%. Maybe. 40 to 50% is an impossibility. That means that every 10 people that come in onto the car lot to buy a car, you're closing five of them. There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way.
On social media, if it's done right. Through the martial arts of sales, I teach that. I could show you that.
You could show me how to follow up.
Show them following. And you understand how to follow up with them. And you do have a value to them. And you present that value in a clear picture that they want to own it. And they're following you. And they like your content. They're sharing it. You should be able to convert 40 to 50% of your leads.
Well, yes, if they're sharing, liking, and commenting on your content, then I do believe I could sell both of my parents, one of my parents, on my services.
Yeah.
Yes. That's about who does that.
Well, right.
Yes. Yes. Okay. If you're going to qualify your qualifieds with all kind of qualifications, then yes, maybe.
Learning the art of cold calling on social media.
Okay.
No doubt about that. This is exciting. This is a daily goal. This is what I do daily. Not only cold calling on the Better Business Bureau, but also I have to manage my day also doing getting some leads on my social media platform.
And following up.
Yeah.
And doing proposals.
And
closing. And then servicing them.
All the things you have to do.
A potential client yesterday was supposed to come to my my seminar Sunday, but they weren't able to make it.
Right.
Oh.
The potential client didn't come.
Yeah. I imagine that happens a lot. Here. Yeah.
Her husband wasn't there, but it was great. She complimented me. She was really kind. She likes the way I talk about sales and cold calling, and she sees that it could be fun.
But she's not your client. She's the wife of some dude who could be a client.
I know.
What kind of world does Paul live in? I'm sorry. My husband couldn't make it, but he wanted me to come on his behalf.
He has a lot of talent. So she wants to hire me, potentially to teach her how to sell. One thing that's going on with
teaching someone how to sell.
Well, do they have the money for you, Paul?
I mean,
because they're not selling anything.
they've never sold anything. So how?
More business owners and entrepreneurs. With so much technology, we're getting lazy. We don't want to do the important work, laying down the foundation. That's an advantage to me because people need more what I have than what I need that they have. Think about that. So once you learn, you embrace and love the art of cold calling on social media, you're going to see your sales increase. Now your content becomes more valuable.
Because your sales increase?
Yeah. What? How does that work? This is all magic thinking as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
it's a lot of magical thinking and buzzwords.
Does that make sense?
No. None of it.
So I hope this has been helpful. I really do hope that, you know, you take this serious, you apply it. If you have any questions and you want some consultation, just email me at themartialartsofsales@gmail.com or
themartialartsofsales@gmail.com. I think you should absolutely clarify that because people will be writing at the martial arts of sales. And earlier you said martialartsofsales@gmail.com. Now you're saying at the martial arts.
Well, also, why don't you have a website?
Yeah.
Send people to the website.
Or since we're talking about social media, how about we go ahead and send them to a social media platform?
Direct message me on Facebook, Instagram, or even Twitter at the Paul Cruz Show or at the Martial Arts of Sales as well. And I will respond to you in 24 hours.
I mean, I've got to look at
this. So before we leave, I want to recap the daily training in preparing.
Know your target.
Know your target.
Number one, always be prepared to know who you are targeting. Number two, make sure you get 5 to 10 qualified leads per platform. Number three, make sure you get 25 to 50 follow-up calls per platform. And number four is when you do that right and you learn the art of cold calling on social media, you're looking at converting between 40 to 50% conversion ratio. Yeah. And what does that mean?
Yeah. What do you see
him.
It? No martial arts of sales? Mm-mm. Well, to be fair, this was about 3 years ago. So maybe he has since. He's making videos still today. I saw it. So it's not like he's, you know, sick or passed away or something like that. But this is just a bunch of gobbledygook. I mean, at the end of the day, sales is especially consultative sales. It's not easy. It's not an easy thing to do. I admire those who do it very well. I have known some very good salespeople in my life. I would consider myself a mediocre salesperson at best, but mainly because I don't like selling things. I'm just not that interested. Mm-hmm. In hard pitching anybody on anything, I am more conversational than anything. So if it's a relationship-based sale, I think I win. If it's, you know, some kind of B2B, I have to convince you why I'm better than the other person. I haven't convinced anybody that I'm better than anybody in my lifetime. So I'm just not good at that part of it. But, you know, hey, listen, God bless Paul again.
Yeah, more power to Paul.
More power to cold call Paul. Oh, what am I doing there? I'm going to a commercial.
I don't know. We'll have to investigate that further, but I don't know if this worked out for him, the martial arts of sales.
I don't think this is a brand that he kept going.
Yeah.
No, for sure not. Martial arts of sales is not the K-pop demon hunter of sales consulting. Right. Let's put it that way. You know a good place to start if you're going to get into consultative sales or you want to be a good salesperson? Brian Tracy.
Yeah.
Brian Tracy is world-renowned and roundly respected as one of the better consultative sales. I think he's kind of the guy who defined what consultative sales was.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really good. And you can get videos and salespeople. I mean, listen, I don't know how many salespeople listen to our show. I'm sure there's a number of them. But if you want to get better at your craft, you do have to learn. And that's either studying under somebody or being an apprentice or having a mentor that's a good salesperson or going to trainings. But just make sure you get the right one, not cold call Paul.
Yeah.
If you're just starting off in sales and you're going to sell lawn care services, maybe he can give you the basics. Maybe that's it. Anyway, much love for Paul and his hustle. God bless him. He seems like a sweet guy.
He does.
Seems like the kind of guy that you'd... As long as he wasn't talking about sales, that you'd be at a backyard barbecue at somewhere.
Yes, holding a beer.
Have a beer and, you know, find out more about his life and what he's up to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He'd be an interesting character to talk to.
I
bet he has.
He's seen a lot of businesses. I know that.
He's probably... We can commiserate about that. All right. Well, listen, today is it. As you're listening to this is the last day for TCB merch during this drop. We will likely not do it again until the end of December during the 12 days of TCB. So, you know, hurry up and get it. ShopTCBPodcast.com. ShopTCBPodcast.com. Once the window closes, that's it. But you can get an exclusive free TCB sticker with every order that you make at ShopTCBPodcast.com. Send it to your friends for a gift. I don't know. You know, it's relatively cheap as far as merch goes. It's good quality. We think we're proud of it. ShopTCBPodcast.com. At the commercial break on Instagram, 212-433-3TCB is the phone number. TCBPodcast.com is the website, and YouTube.com/thecommercialbreak for all the episodes on video, including this one, the same day they air here on the audio. Okay, Chrissy, that's all I can do for today.
I think so.
I'll tell you that I love you.
And I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
And best to you in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I will say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.